Now, a very good morning to you. Welcome to the papers. It is Wednesday. It is indeed. It's March 6th, 2024. I'm Richie Allen, and thank you for downloading the podcast. Hope all is well in your world. It was a misty and chilly start in Salford this morning, although the mist will clear, and it'll be a bright and sunny day. Top temperatures, 10 to 12 degrees Celsius. Isn't that lovely now? For most of the country here in the UK, good weather today. Let's start with the Financial Times. We'll do the front pages first of all, as usual. Financial Times: hunt to put £10 billion tax cut at core of budget as Tories eye tough election. So, you're probably sick of this. Around lunchtime this afternoon, the Chancellor of the Exchequer, a guy called Jeremy Hunt, will announce his spring budget. The Financial Times and other newspapers carry a photograph of him standing in a room in Buckingham Palace with Charles, not my king. Nobody questions this stuff. It's traditional, they say. Well, it's more than that. He had to go to the palace to have a discussion with the king about what was going to be in his spring budget. There's nothing traditional about it. It's indicative of where power really lies. And I won't dwell on that this morning because it's something I often get into in the Richie Allen Show. So the claim is he's going to announce a 2p cut to national insurance that will be worth an average of £450 a year to 27 million workers. And that by announcing this 2p cut to national insurance and putting more money in the pockets of ordinary workers, this will be some boost to the Tories ahead of the forthcoming general election. Problem is, of course, every economist in the country, regardless of whether they are Conservative or Labour or centrist, they're all speaking on radio and television this morning saying this is a nonsense because stealth taxes imposed by the Tories in recent years mean that the 2p cut to national insurance won't matter a damn to people on the lowest incomes in this country. It's not going to help them at all. Because when you factor in the reality that prices are going up exponentially when it comes to supermarket shopping, when it comes to taking your car to the petrol stations to fill it up, you're getting fleeced everywhere. This 2p cut is not going to matter a damn. It won't amount to anything for people, is what economists are saying this morning and will continue to say, I would imagine, for the coming days or during the coming days. So Hunt to put £10 billion tax cut at core of budget for a tough election. Now, it must be mentioned, the Labour Party is convinced that the election will take place on the 2nd of May. A number of Labour Party people, Wes Streeting and others, taking to or going on national television last night saying that the cat is out of the bag, that the election will be announced soon enough and that it will be May 2nd. We'll see. The time, it doesn't matter. You'll get to choose between Agent of the Great Reset, Rishi Sunak, Agent of the Great Reset, Keir Starmer, the Lib Dem leader, Ed Davey, who thinks it's quite obvious that women can have penises. Those will be your choices. And if you don't fancy any of those, you can vote for a Green Party person who wants you to live indoors for the rest of your life, not eat meat anymore, not drive, not fly anywhere, and have no children, you know, all in the name of saving us from climate catastrophe. Those are your choices. Jesus. The Times: Hunt looks to win over voters with £900 tax cut. Same story. Daily Express: Hunt's tax cut gamble will put £900 in workers' pockets. The Daily Telegraph has the very same photograph of Hunt shaking hands with jug ears in Buckingham Palace, headline: tax cuts spark election talk. Again, number of papers are carrying the speculation that the election will be on May 2nd. Okay, let's go to the Eye. Labour fears Tory budget trap as Hunt cuts Labour fears Tory budget trap as Hunt cuts national insurance by 2p in giveaway. The Guardian: Hunt defies public services alarm with pre-election budget tax cuts. What that means is critics of any cut or economic forecasters, economic experts so-called, who have been speaking ahead of the budget, said that, well, he can't really cut national insurance and he can't really announce any tax cuts because how will he fund public services? Yeah. The Daily Mail, 5 SAS soldiers in murder probe over jihadi death. What's this about? Military chiefs, according to the Mail, have recommended murder charges for 5 SAS soldiers over the death of a suspected jihadist in Syria back in 2022. The soldiers are on active duty today. The Mail says the man was planning to carry out a suicide attack before he was killed, but an investigation concluded the soldiers used excessive force and he should have been arrested. Sources told the Mail that a primed suicide vest was found nearby, but the suspect wasn't wearing it at the time. So military chiefs have recommended these guys go on trial. They've basically been accused, or have been accused, of executing this guy who was not wearing a suicide vest at the time, could have been arrested, maybe interrogated, intelligence gathered and whatnot, but they murdered him, is the allegation. The Metro, Palace's anger at Kate Date Clanger. This is a silly story. The British Army has advertised tickets for the Trooping of the Colour on the 8th of June. They said that the Princess of Wales would be attending. She's disappeared off the radar recently because she'd spent some time in hospital. She'd had an operation. Kensington Palace says, we haven't confirmed what she will and won't be doing in June. So the army has jumped the gun in announcing that she'll be at the Trooping of the Colour. Daily Mirror headline, Meghan put stick in the spokes. This is about celebrity Big Brother. Jesus, yes. Her uncle, the aforementioned Kate Middleton, the Princess of Wales, her uncle has gone on Celebrity Big Brother and he's been talking, his name is Gary Goldsmith, and he's been talking a lot about Meghan Markle, astonishing the other housemates. Sure he is. The Sun, party girl, I'll put Harry Vegas snaps on OnlyFans. Party girl, I'll put Harry Vegas snaps on OnlyFans. See the prince in the buff. Harry was at a party in Las Vegas in 2012. Apparently he was pissed out of his brains. And he was cavorting around in the nip. He was with a party girl. She has photographs, allegedly. She saw him playing air guitar with a pool cue in the nip. Photographed him. These days she has an OnlyFans account. She's threatening to put the photographs on there. Very good. Daily Star. I bet you that's the least of what Harry got up to be honest, back in the day. Or his brother. Daily Star. Squirting snot up your conch could cure hay fever. Squirting snot up your conch could cure hay fever. The wonderful Daily Star leads with, squirting other people's snot up your nose could help prevent hay fever. The people behind this claim are scientists. The Star has labelled them as bogey boffins. The Star. Those were the front pages. Let's mosey on into the papers themselves and have a look. A number of papers are obviously running, they're all running budget stories. But a number of them are also running stories about Paul Gascoigne, or Gazza, as he is affectionately known to millions of football fans, even fans of clubs where Gazza never played. He's spoken publicly in recent days, yesterday maybe, I think, and he said that he just can't give up the booze. He's currently living with his agent. And he's broke and he's still drinking when he can find the money to drink. And it's a bit of a tragic story, really. I mentioned once or twice over the years, not by way of name dropping, but just to regale my listeners on the Sunday morning melodies. My better half ran a bar in Spain for quite a number of years. And one particular evening, a local business which ran celebrity golfing events asked her would she host the after bash, I suppose, for a big celebrity golf event in Finca Cortesan Golf Course on the Costa del Sol, which we were situated very close by. She said no problem, and in came Chris Waddle and Paul McGrath, and Paul Gascoigne was with them, and he was lovely, was Paul, he was really nice, but he was very drunk, and he was asking for things like pints of vodka, which my wonderful, much better half refused to give him, and said she'd give him a beer, but she couldn't be giving him pints of vodka. He'd already had quite a lot to drink. He went and he got it elsewhere, but he was a perfect gentleman despite being pissed. And it's a tragedy, really, because he was a great footballer. And he comes across as a pretty decent lad. I understand that wherever he's gone, wherever he's been in the world, when people approach him for an autograph or a photograph, he's happy to do it. So let's hope he beats the booze. He was a fantastic footballer back in the day, and it's sad to see him like that. But a number of papers carrying stories about him. Bit of a folk hero is our Gaza. The Times. Inside the Times. Money off at North Face if you complete a racial inclusion course. This is ridiculous. There's no other way of describing it. Again, a number of papers are carrying this. The North Face manufactures outdoor apparel, doesn't it? Clothes you would wear while walking. I'm ashamed to say I have a North Face jacket myself, a blue jacket, with North Face, which I was given as a present by herself last winter. The North Face has offered 20% off to customers for passing an online racial inclusion course. The fashion brand promises the discount if people complete the 4-module digital course titled Allyship in the Outdoors. You'll pass it by answering a series of multiple choice questions. The program claims to be designed to foster a deeper understanding of the unique challenges that people of colour face when accessing the outdoors. I'm going to read that again for you, because I can't believe my fucking eyes. The program, North Face, take a racial awareness course online, and if you pass it, we'll give you 20% off your jacket. We want to foster a deeper understanding of the unique challenges that people of colour face when accessing the outdoors. Amy, it's over to you.
What kind of fuckery is this?
I don't know. I've been racking my brains overnight, trying to understand what unique challenges people of colour face when accessing the outdoors. And I'm lost. I am lost with all hands in a raging sea with icebergs fore and aft. I am sunk. Can anybody help me? Anybody? Anybody? This is monumental bollocks, isn't it? It really is. It echoes, of course, Bud Light beer getting the tranny Dylan Mulvaney to promote it and then losing millions of customers because people are tired of being patronised and being interfered with and mithered. It's a wonderful Salford term, mithered. Mithering somebody is to annoy them. I'm sorry to mither you, Richie. Neighbours have knocked on my front door and I've answered the door. And they've said, I don't mean to mither you, Richie. What the fuck is that? Bother? Well, you're not bothering me. You're my neighbour. I expect my neighbours to knock on my door from time to time to tell me something or to ask me something or to come in for a cup of tea, like, you know. It's how it goes. Or it's how it used to go, in any case. Sorry to mither you. But people are fed up of being mithered by these idiotic firms. Just make some clothing for the outdoors. Make some sturdy shoes and some waterproof jackets and shut the fuck up. I can't for the life of me imagine what a person of colour, what difficulties they might face that I wouldn't face because of my whiteness. Anyway, answers on a postcard. This has garnered much. People are laughing their arses off at this. I posted about it on Twitter last night. Let's stay with the Times. Donnellan will pay damages to professor she called Hamas sympathiser. Good enough, I say, good enough. This is Michelle Donnellan, the Science and Technology Secretary, and one of the better-looking female MPs in Westminster. It must be said. You wouldn't be allowed, if I was doing mainstream stuff, I'd be fired for that, or at least severely rebuked. You're not supposed to be referencing people's looks. But I don't give a shit. I appreciate a good-looking woman when I see a good-looking woman. As a red-blooded male, a descendant of the Gary Cooper and John Wayne school of masculinity. Was there such a school? I think she's rather attractive, Michelle Donnellan, in a certain light. Aren't we all? Well, she's pissed off today. She's been told to pay libel damages and legal costs to Professor Kate Sang of Heriot Watt University because she accused her of being a Hamas sympathiser, even though she had no evidence. Back in October, after the Hamas attack in Israel, there were calls for the police to crack down on Hamas support in the UK. The professor, Professor Sang, tweeted, "This is disturbing." It was quite obvious what Professor Sang was referencing. She was saying it is disturbing that anybody would call for the police to be cracking down on anyone who might have any sympathy at all for the Palestinian people's plight. Donnellan jumped in to say she was outraged. She claimed Sang had shared extremist material and expressed support or sympathy for Hamas, which of course she didn't. So now she's paying the price for it. And well, she might do. Might deter others from going after people in that McCarthyism type kind of way that they did, accusing people of supporting terrorism, when in fact all they were doing was, saying, well, it's terrible what happened, obviously. We don't want anybody to die. But it didn't happen in a vacuum, you know, the Hamas attack. Do you know your history about Palestine, about the last 75 years, the 75 years before that, the Sykes-Picot Agreement, the Balfour Declaration, you know? You'd have to expect some reaction from the Palestinian people. Although we don't condone violence and murder against anybody, no matter who they are. So yeah, Donnellan is out of pocket and happy days. Guardian. Palestinians beaten and sexually assaulted at Israeli detention centres, UN report claims. An internal UN report describes widespread abuse of Palestinian detainees in Israeli detention centres, including beatings, dog attacks, the prolonged use of stress positions and sexual assault. The report was compiled by the UN Relief and Works Agency for Palestine. UN Relief and Works Agency for Palestine, most commonly known as UNRWA, and is largely based on interviews of Palestinian detainees released at the Kerem Shalom crossing point since December, when UNRWA staff were present to provide humanitarian support. Now, this predates October 7th. For decades, human rights groups and the UNRWA have been reporting on the torture, the systemic torture of Palestinian men, women and children while they are being held in Israeli detention centres. It's been going on for decades. It really has. And as I said, October 7th and the Hamas attack doesn't happen in a vacuum. It happens because of the displacement of, the humiliation of, the torture and murder of the Palestinians for generations. It's terrible. But I don't blame Israel for this. I blame the United States, I blame the UK, I blame the EU, France, Germany, for enabling Israel to do what it has done, the apartheid, the genocide of the Palestinian people, for years. Don't blame Israel. I don't say that for a laugh, by the way. Don't blame the Israelis. Blame those who enable the Israelis. Let's go inside the Telegraph. Now, I find this fascinating. I'm a bit nervous about Meta and virtual reality headsets and how they are being engineered and how they are becoming more sophisticated. And I think there's some relation between the development, relationship, between the development of these products and the plans for humanity, particularly around the claim that we are facing a climate catastrophe and that maybe we need to engineer 15-minute cities where people can basically stay, remain in and live in a very narrow zone which they won't need to travel out of. Right? So if you wanted to confine people in an area, in a place, tell them you can't leave. We will severely restrict your travelling overseas, all in the names, in the name of reducing your carbon footprint. You're going to want to have to entertain those people in ways that had maybe previously been unimaginable, maybe. Listen to this. Sherelle Jacobs writes opinion pieces for The Guardian. Don't always agree with her, but she's a very good writer. The London Hotel teaching guests how to lucid dream. Now, as far as I understand it, a lucid dream is a dream where the dreamer is aware that he or she is actually dreaming. He or she is aware they are asleep and can direct the dream. I think I might have had one of these dreams, but not for many, many, many years. I think when I was a younger lad, when I was a very young lad, I had some of these dreams where I was aware I was actually asleep. And I wonder if the trauma of some of the things I experienced as a kid, the abuse that I endured, I wonder if I experienced, I should say. I experienced abuse. I came through it. I'm no victim. Don't feel sorry for me. But I wonder if that had anything to do with the fact that I did experience lucid dreaming and was able to travel within a dream. Anyway, a hotel in London, the Kimpton Fitzroy Hotel, very plush in Russell Square, has launched a virtual reality lucid dreaming package. She says, Sherelle Jacobs, tapping into one of the big wellness crazes of 2024. Now, for her article, she went along and experienced it. And it's a beautifully written article. She's a very good writer, is Jacobs, as I've already said. And she talks about the hotel, the layout of the hotel, how beautiful it is. Before going to the bar and having certain drinks which are supposed to enhance this experience. And then she went to her room where the room, she says, soothing with its succulents and oatmeal furnishings, not to mention immensely comfortable king-sized bed after a splendid bath in a roll-top tub overlooking Russell Square. I got to work as per my instructions. I took a few Lab Tonica lucid dream drops with valerian root and mugwort and rubbed sleep balm into pulse points, all provided in a dream trunk that had been put in my room. Then I put on my headset, she says. Amazing, this stuff. And I wonder, is it related to where they want to take humanity? If they want to physically restrict you, you and me, and say, look, we want to restrain you and restrict your movements because we really are at the point where the planet might collapse, right? But we can allow you escape these physical trappings, this sacrifice you have to make for the planet. You can escape it mentally. We can take you out of your body where you can travel. You can see things beyond planet Earth. You know, we'll help you travel galaxies and universes. And that's how I see it. I could be adding two and two together and coming up with 20 or 50. Maybe I'm wrong. What do you think? Maybe we should get into it on the Richie Allen Show. The Daily Mirror. Greggs knocks McDonald's off Brits' breakfast top spot for early morning snacks. Why am I covering this? I'm covering it because I'm fascinated. So Greggs is a bakery. It's well known for its sausage rolls. It's now doing better in the breakfast market than McDonald's and McDonald's McMuffins. Why is that the case? Are people flocking to Greggs in the morning? No, they're not. You know what they're doing? They're ordering it to be delivered to their homes. And I did a bit of research into this. More people are now ordering breakfast from Greggs and from McDonald's to be delivered by a delivery company, like Deliveroo, for example, or by McDonald's or Greggs' own delivery partners. More people are getting it at home than are going out to eat it. And I find this horribly depressing. I understand when people were going to work in the office on the high street, when they were, you know, commuting, these crazy commutes, I understand why they would buy a crap breakfast from Greggs or McDonald's, full of salt and sugar. I totally get it. What I don't get is people working from home ordering this crap, because it is crap, terrible processed shit, awful for your body. Why wouldn't you make your own bacon? Why wouldn't you buy bacon and sausages? Why wouldn't you make your own bread and do your own breakfast? I don't understand it. Well, I do understand it, of course. I do understand it. This is how people are being conditioned. They're being conditioned into this. You might also make the argument, and I'm going to make it myself, there isn't a Butcher's on the High Street in Salford. I'm pretty sure there isn't a Butcher's on the High Street in Eccles, which is only a half a mile down the road from me. God be with the days when I was a young man, when I learned how to cook for myself. I moved out of home when I was very, very young. 18, 17 when I moved out. I used to go to a butcher, locally, run by a family called Malloy. The butcher was lovely. They were there for years. You know, they'd always give you a bit of discount. What do you want, Richie? I have a skirting steak, maybe. Bit of beef mince, maybe. I'm going to make spaghetti bolognese and whatever, you know. Yeah, you could buy all that stuff. And you could trust it and where it came from. Not anymore. There isn't a butcher. The only butchers I have access to are inside a supermarket. There isn't a High Street Butcher's. Those days are gone. So people are ordering this stuff online. They're not cooking their own breakfasts. They could make oatmeal if they wanted to. Porridge. They could eat fruit for their breakfast. They could eat yogurt. But no, they're buying this crap in and they're eating it anyway. How horribly depressing. Let's move on swiftly. This one made me laugh. Rabbi and wife, this is in the Mail, by the way, sue JetBlue after they were removed from Palm Springs to New York flight by anti-Semitic plane crew who refused to allow him switch seats for religious reasons. The rabbi's name is Abraham Lunger. His wife is Miriam. They were kicked off the JetBlue flight from Palm Springs to New York after the rabbi said to the flight crew, "As an Orthodox Jew, I am unable to sit next to a woman unless she is a blood relative or my wife." He was sitting next to a stranger, a female stranger. Isn't religion a load of bollocks, really? Organized religion, at least how it is perceived by some people. And that goes for everything. Islam, Christianity, Hinduism, Judaism. It's such bollocks, isn't it? In the opinion of this agnostic broadcaster. Apologies if I offend you, but I don't give a shit. I mean, what a load of fucking bollocks. I can't sit next to a woman unless she's a blood relative or my wife. And they just wouldn't move him. Now, I think that's a bit silly. They should have moved him, in my opinion. Particularly because apparently some bloke stood up and said, "I don't mind moving if it's to help the rabbi." But the flight crew wouldn't back down and kicked him off. In fact, a pilot came out and ridiculously said that we're not moving anybody because it would create a weight imbalance. Lying bastard, the pilot. He was just fed up with the guy kicking off. I think he didn't want to back down to him. So the Lungers are suing. They're suing. And the airline, JetBlue, has said that we carry lots of people. We ensure all customers are provided the experience they expect from JetBlue. We accommodate our customers' requests when we can. We're not saying anything because it might prejudice the case. That story is in the Daily Mail today. The folly of religion and the stubbornness of the flight crew. I generally do find a lot of religious beliefs ridiculous, but I also respect people's rights to believe whatever they choose to believe. And if I was the pilot, I would have said to the guy who offered to swap with him, "Fair enough, pal. That makes my life easier. Swap with the fucking clown and we can take off." And land safely in New York. But they booted the rabbi off the plane. And he's gone down the, it must be anti-Semitism. Might be. They might be anti-Semitic. They might not like Jews. But it might also be that they're just fed up with the whinging bastard and wanted to get him off the plane. By the way, that's kind of it for the papers. By the way, I've got to acknowledge NBC in New York is projecting that the Democratic and Republican primaries are now over. Regardless of the fact that as I speak to you, it's exactly 6:30 now as I record this. As I speak with you, Nikki Haley has not yet given up, thrown the towel in. and said, okay, I can see Trump is going to be the nominee. But Super Tuesday has taken place. The BBC News website is all over it, as is SkyNews.com. They're talking about the results. Trump and Biden sweep Super Tuesday as Haley scores Vermont surprise. Haley did well in Vermont, but it doesn't matter. This is all over, bar the conceding. But Haley hasn't conceded. As of yet, it'll be Trump and Biden in a rerun of the election 4 years ago. I will be amazed if both men do make it to the ballot in November. I have this little theory that one of them won't be alive come that November election. But again, what the bloody hell do I know about anything? The answer is Sweet Fanny Adams. You have been listening to The Papers. Thank you so much for listening to it. I so appreciate you. Now, the Richie Allen Radio Show will be on air at 4 o'clock this afternoon, UK time. This baldy gammon is now going for a 5 mile run. What a man, what a man. Indeed I am. Until 4 then, mind yourselves, bye now.